You probably have looked at your bulletins by now. You realized, hey, you got the wrong speaker up there today. And it's true. Trey was doing me a favor this week. Many of you may not know this, but I went to British Columbia, to Vancouver area, to film some series that I've been doing on creation and evolution called Have You Swallowed the Hook? At a place called Amazing Discoveries. Have you ever watched Amazing Discoveries? A few hands going up. If to find Amazing Discoveries, you have to go to the satellite. You have to get a satellite to look at one of the satellites that broadcast Christian music or Christian programming, like Glory Star, and you'll find there's seven different stations. They're one of them, and I was real thrilled to be able to do that. I got back midnight on Thursday, and Trey had agreed to take the sermon time so that I, you know, could rest up. And sadly, on Thursday, I learned that his brother had died, and I said, Trey, can I do anything for you? Can I take this sermon? And he said, yes, could you please do that? So I'm here today. That's too bad, but I'm here, and I'm praying that we could have a blessing time today, and we can also have a blessed time as we study in the Word. So let's bow our heads together as we look in the book of Acts. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time we have to spend together. Thank you for the talents that you give each one of us. Thank you for the love and the hope we have in Christ. Today, as we look in the Word of God, I pray for you to bless us again, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what I want to talk to you about today? I want to talk to you about really a congregation here today. I want to talk about how do we treat Christians in our congregation. How do we treat those who are suffering things in their lives? And how do we treat people who have trials? I think it's an important question because by the grace of God, this is a growing church. We've had four baptisms this year, and God is moving to grow us in the mission of Jesus Christ in this community. And so we need to ask ourselves, how are we caring for people that come into this church? And here's how I really want to couch the question. And I'm going to be saying this over and over again, so you might want to say it with me one time so we can get it right. And that's this question here. Who is in your basket? Let's talk about that for a minute. The story we're going to learn today in the Scriptures is a story found in the book of Acts, chapter 9. And if you look what's happening, a person has just become a Christian. Who is that person's name? That's right. We're talking about the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul. And Saul had an interesting occurrence. He went down he was an enemy of all of Christ, and one day he goes on a journey to Damascus, and along on his way to the journey, he meets Jesus. I think that's what everybody wants to do, isn't it? That's the purpose of why we're here, isn't it? So that young people like these over here can one day meet who? Jesus, that's right. We're here for people to meet Jesus. That's why we exist as a congregation. It's why we exist as a church. We're here so that people can meet Jesus. And so along his way, he meets Jesus and he accepts him. But let's look what happened to him after that. I'm going to pick this up in chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 19. And it says, he comes to, obviously, to Damascus, and there he's directed by Jesus to a group of Christians. And it says, and he took food and was strengthened, and now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. Isn't that what you'd like to have for new converts? Come out, they accept Jesus as their Savior, they start preaching, he's the Son of God. And they were looking at him going, is this not he in Jerusalem who destroyed those who called upon this name? And who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? But Saul kept increasing in strength and confronting the Jews. And of course, we move on here to find out that when many days have elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But the disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him into a large basket. And the question I want to ask for you today is, who is in your basket? You know, one of the things that was interesting about Saul became the Apostle Paul, in his conversion to Christ, was his connection with Christians, other Christians. What happened when he connected with them? And I want to make this proposition. that as a new Christian, Saul had several basic needs that every single Christian has. These are the same needs that people that are going through trials in their life need to have as well when they come into this church. And these are the needs that we all have. And here's the first of the needs that Paul had. Paul had the need, besides being lowered in a basket, he had the need of acceptance, for acceptance. You know, people that come into a church, they oftentimes, a church needs to find people and give them acceptance. Acts chapter 9, verse 19 says, "For some days he dwelt with the disciples in Damascus." And the verse doesn't say much about it, but it does say how important it is for Christians to feel important or accepted when they come in here. Saul needed acceptance. He needed Christian friends. He needed Christian fellowship because, guess what? His former friends were trying to destroy his life. And you know, in the real world, when you become a Christian, when you accept Jesus Christ, you have former friends, don't you? And many times those former friends may not kill you physically, but they want to kill you spiritually. And that's why we need to be a place we can give acceptance to people and put them in our baskets. And when a new believer comes to church, someone needs to put them in their basket of understanding, a basket of acceptance, so they will feel acceptance and part of a group. Look what it says here, what happened to Paul. Because sometimes you can go to a church and you cannot receive any acceptance at all. Let me give you an example. This happened to the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9, verse 26 to 27. It says, "And when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple." You imagine someone coming into this church and you might be afraid of them, not really believing they're part of a disciple. They might have piercings, connecting this nose over here to the other side of the ear, and maybe down here they have another piercing, and they come in with a black jacket and tattoos all over them, and you might think to yourself, is this person really a person that's a disciple of Jesus? You might be afraid of them, right? Well, that's what happened in Jerusalem. It says, don't miss this next piece. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord." Did you notice that? Here he was in a group of people and other Christians. They weren't accepting him. They weren't giving him any acceptance. But guess what? Somebody named Barnabas came along, found out his story, and took him to the people and said, "Hey, let me share with you how this person met Jesus." You catching this? You know, when Christians come into this church, they need acceptance. They need somebody like a Barnabas who was willing to put them into his basket of acceptance. As a pastor, I don't know how many times, my last district, I remember the church would go through the membership every once in a while at the church board, and they would talk about members. They would say, "You remember Susie, how she went through all our Christian schools, and she went to the academy, and she was here, but then she left to go to some job? We've never heard from her before again. We don't know what happened to her. Why haven't we received a membership transfer that she went to another community of faith?" Well, guess what? She might have tried to go to a community of faith, but when she came in the door, no one was there willing to accept her. No one was there willing to put her into a basket, into their basket of acceptance. You know, it's interesting. Does this church have a culture, like I would call it a basket culture, not basket cases, but basket culture? I mean, see, here's the bottom line. When you're here today, who today is in your basket? Who's in your basket of acceptance in this church today? Does this church have a basket culture at all? For example, in this church right here, they're in the morning when we meet at about 9:45, there's all kinds of little Bible study groups happening all over the place. There's one up there, one in here, and there's several over here, one over there. Let me ask you a question. Do any of those little Bible study groups that meet here, is it a basket culture? Or are you all basket cases? No, think about it. When somebody comes into this church, when you have these little Bible studies, we call them Sabbath schools here, these little Bible studies, you have a teacher, right? Hopefully there's a pastor in that group that's praying and ministering for one another. And I'm praying that there's an evangelist in that group that's looking around at the people that come into this church and saying, "Hey, you need to get into my basket of acceptance. You need to come with me to my Sabbath school class so we can sit down and study together. And here's Pastor so-and-so, and she'll pray for you. You know what I'm saying? Does that how this church is? Do we have a culture in this church where we put people in the basket of our acceptance when they come into the door? I'm asking this because we really need it. There was a man named Dr. Gary McIntosh. He wrote in a book called Beyond the First Visit in the Church. Here's what he said. He says, one way we can start developing a basket culture is to eliminate in our minds, now not necessarily in our vocabulary, but eliminate in our minds the idea of someone that's here just being a visitor. Because let's face it, a visitor is somebody that you don't expect, right? Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever had a visitor come to your door? You know, you're staying in your house, you've got your at-home clothes, I call them, and you're wearing your at-home clothes, and somebody knocks on the door. I'm not expecting anyone. You go and open the door, and there's a visitor. All right, what's happening with this visitor? In your mind, you're saying, I'll be polite, but I wonder how quick I can get rid of them. Isn't that right? And this is what I'm trying to say to us, too. If we're going to have a basket culture where we have put people in a basket of acceptance here at this church, we have to change the way we think about people and not call them visitors, not think of them as visitors. Now, imagine this for a moment. Imagine if we thought of them as our guests. The biggest difference between a visitor and a guest is this. A visitor, you hope to get out of there real quick. A guest, you prepare for. If I invite you to my house as a guest, I'm expecting you to come. Am I right? Not only am I expecting you to come, but I'm ready for you when you get here. I'm ready to greet you. I'm ready to say, hello, how are you? I'm glad you're here. I expected you to come. And by the way, I've got lots of things for you here. Here's a place where you can come and study the Bible. Oh, and by the way, there's this worship service that happens here at this time. And I would be happy to take you out to eat, but you don't have to worry about that. We've got potluck right over here. Let me take you over there, and I will sit you down, and we'll eat together. You not only do you expect a guest to be there, you're not happy when they leave. You want your guests to stay, and you hope they'll come back. Am I right? Imagine for a moment if this church began to have a basket culture where we, like the people that treated Paul, like Barnabas, were willing to come to people and say, I'm going to put you, friend, today in the basket of acceptance. I don't see you here as a guest because guess what? This church exists because of Jesus, and Jesus is inviting people to come into this church to know who he is. And so everyone who comes here is a guest of Jesus. And so I want to put you in the basket of acceptance today. What would it take, friends, to get this church to have a culture like that? To have a basket culture where all of us saw everyone else sitting around here as the guests of Jesus. We're here for our guests. Wouldn't that be amazing? I remember reading a book by a pastor. His name was Marvin Ray, and the book was called Journeys. And what this pastor did was he took a sabbatical. He was an Adventist pastor, preacher, and they let him have a sabbatical for 3 months. And for 3 months, all he did was he got on his motorcycle, and he drove around the country, and he recorded what it was like to go to different churches. What was it like? What kind of basket culture did these churches have? And in his book, he said this. I'll quote it. He says, one church in Nevada takes this so seriously that on an initial visit, the newcomer receives a brochure of the church, a book, and a $5 gas card with a note attached that says, we want you back, and we'll pay for the gas. He writes that by the time those people have attended 4 worship services, they have connected with, I don't know, a countless number of people, but they've connected with a Sabbath school class, a worship service of some group, and some small group in the midweek, and members of this church basically are showing that they have a basket culture. That church has a culture of acceptance. They want to put people in the baskets of acceptance. Because guess what? Jesus is sending people into this church, and what's what we need to be. So here's my question for you this morning. Are you willing to be a Barnabas here? Or a female Barnabas here? Why not be the first person, you know, to introduce yourself to someone you don't know in the church and put them in your basket of acceptance and say, I'm glad you're here. Come and eat with me. You know, new people need acceptance. People that you don't know need to feel home in the family of God. All right, here's another group that needs acceptance. It's a different reason, though, and that's people that come to the church and they're here and they're having problems in their lives. That kind of group needs acceptance as well. Someone who's struggling because they've lost a family member, or they need acceptance in this church as well. You know what it says in the Bible? It says, Romans 14:1, now accept the one who's weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. You know, people that are going through things in their lives, their families are breaking up, and you don't think that doesn't happen to Christian families? People that are going through various struggles in their life, or they're having problems, they need to have someone put them in the basket of acceptance. For example, people that their families are dividing because of divorce or other reasons. You know, church members that are hurting need someone to put them in the basket, a basket of someone to know that they're accepted, that they can come to church. They need someone that knows about them in the church where they can get support and a group of people. And that leads to the second thing that Paul needed and that we all need as well, and that is Paul had a need for understanding. He had a need for understanding. You know, when a person comes to a church for the first time, and I don't know, how many of you have ever come to a church for the first time? A few of you. Well, let me share with you that when I was growing up, I was a secular person, and going to church was the last thing on my mind, but I would go to churches every once in a while. I had people that invite me, and I would go. And when I would go into those churches, it was probably one of the most uncomfortable experiences ever. Am I right? Well, you probably don't recognize that because very few of you raised your hands. According to Dr. Gary McIntosh, who writes this book, Beyond the First Visit, he says that 75% of people say they are more anxious the first time they enter a new place, such as a business, a church, or an office, than in most times of their entire life. Since you guys don't have any experiences like that, let me share mine. When I first went into a church, I thought everybody was staring at me. Have you ever felt like that? The whole time I was in there, I was paralyzed. And the church I went to was a Baptist church. It was called Charity Baptist Church. My best friend invited me because he just got married to somebody that went there. And so now he was working on me. I wasn't a pastor then. I was a very secular man, working at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base as a research engineer. And so he invites me into this church. And the whole time I'm in this church, I'm like this, whoa. You know, got past the people in the front there, and I'm sitting in there, and nobody talked to me the whole time I was there. I sat in there, and the preacher was preaching, and man, I was just like, when's this over with so I can go home? People that come to church for the first time, it's a stressful thing, and they need someone to place them in their basket of understanding. You know what I mean? Imagine what it would have been like if I'd have gone to that church and somebody walked up to me, even my friend Michael, I didn't even see him. Even if someone walked up to me and put their arm around me and said, hey man, how are you? You work where? I work there too. Wow, we got a lot in common. Would you do me a favor? I know you probably don't know anybody here. Would it be all right if you came and sat with me? And you know what? Afterwards, we'll just sit there and listen to the sermon. I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen so you don't feel uncomfortable. Don't worry. Nobody's going to make you do anything that you don't want to do. Come on, just sit down with me. We'll just sit here for a little while. And we sat there together and says, okay, now here, we're going to sing this song. Okay, you ready? Okay, and we get up, stand, and somebody's there all along helping you, putting you in the basket of understanding so that when you come to this church, you come to this place, you're coming and somebody is there and helping you. And that's what Barnabas did, right? Barnabas put Paul in the basket of understanding. He says, look, all these people here, they're not really being very friendly to you. I'm going to bring you in and introduce you to the rest of the people. And so the question I have for you today is, who is in your basket? Who is in your basket today? You know, entering a church is like entering into a marriage or wedding. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the wedding supper of the Lamb. And so I want you to think about something for a minute. Everyone who is a Christian here today, look around. Here's the people you're married to. Think about it. We're all related in Christ. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. And so every one of us that are here today is related. So think about it for a moment. Now, let's think about church being a family for a moment, being related to one another. You know, sometimes it's hard to be around your family, isn't it? You ever had any family members that made it difficult to be around them? Relatives? You know, being part of a large family, what do you think it takes to make a successful family to happen? What's it going to take? Yeah, it's going to take, thank you, it's going to take Jesus. But you know what else? It's going to take people that are willing to put other people in the basket of understanding. And I'm going to share with you what I mean by that. When you talk about members in crisis, when you talk about people that were all together. It's a story of a grandmother, a friend told me. She reached her golden anniversary, you imagine that? And while there, they were asking her, Grandma, Grandma, tell us the secret of how you were able to stay together so long with Daddy. Because they knew who Daddy was. They knew what kind of guy he was. And she says, well, I decided to choose 10 of my husband's faults and write them down. And I would overlook those faults for the sake of the marriage. And then one of the other grandkids goes and says, so, can you show me the list? Probably wanted to compare because she knew who her granddaddy was like. She says, well, to tell the truth, I never did get around to listing them. But whenever my husband did something that made me hopping mad, I would say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. You know, as when you think about the fact that we're all part of a family in Christ, isn't it possible that we might have to overlook, put somebody else in their basket of understanding and say, thank the Lord that Sister Joe, that's one of the 10 that's on that list. I'm going to let him go. You know, it says in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 1 to 2, it says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. And not to please ourselves, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. You know, an attitude that seeks to please ourselves is an attitude that seeks perfection in others, right? I mean, imagine, we're asking people in church to reach a level of perfection that only Jesus has. Is that reasonable? So it's possible that we're going to run into people that are less perfect than Jesus. Do you think that's possible? See, the beautiful thing about Christianity is I take his righteousness because I don't have any. All of my righteousness is as a filthy rag. When I first come to meet Jesus and I accept him as my Savior, he gives me his righteousness. Okay? It's his righteousness, not mine. So when you come to a church, if you're just here to please yourself, you may be looking at other people saying, you're not perfect as I like. You know, we need to be putting people instead in our baskets of understanding. Because guess what? Only Jesus can do that. You know, coming to a church that expects people to live up to their expectations is like going to a bowling alley and having someone say, I want you to bowl a 300, a perfect game. Can you imagine bowling a perfect game? Have you ever tried it? You did? Do you realize I used to bowl, and I can tell you for a fact that my average is pretty low. And the idea of going to a bowling alley and bowling a perfect game, the chances of that, I believe, are one chance in 225-something thousand. To one, you know, to bowl a perfect game. And coming to church where people expect everyone to be perfect, not saved, but perfect, is like everybody going to church hoping they'll bowl a perfect game every single time. Do you think that's can we expect that? Is that going to be stressful? You know, church isn't like that. Church is for sinners, right? The reason we gather here together is so that we can bring people who are sinners so they can meet who? Savior, right? And of course, that means that are we sinners? That's one of the things we miss up about church. And that's the fact that when we come here, we're not saints. Well, we are saints, actually. That's true. But we're only saints because we've been saved by Jesus. So that means everyone here really is a basket case. And we needed Jesus, who is God. You know, that's where it says, for God so loved the world. Jesus was the one, the basket. God lowered down the basket of salvation so that those of us who can find it and see Jesus and recognize Him as our Lord and Savior could get in that basket, and God's willing to carry us with a basket of understanding and a basket of forgiveness all of our lives. And this is what the Bible says. Bear with the failings of the weak. He didn't say that we should accept their failings, right? He said we should bear with them. And that takes the idea of someone bearing up a burden. Bear the burdens of the weak. Bear those that aren't quite there yet. They need someone in this church who's willing to go alongside them and put them in the basket of understanding. And so that's really how it works. You know, there was a married couple that 15 years was having more than their usual amount of disagreements. They wanted to know how to make their marriage work. So one day, the wife had an idea that she read in one of her books. You know, those little women's books you see everywhere? They always have good ideas for the ladies. She had this idea, and here's what it was. She says, "Honey, for 1 month, we're going to take this box and we're going to put it right here. And every time we do something the other person doesn't like, we're going to write it down what they did and put it in the box. Okay? Sound like a good plan? I don't know what book magazine she got that from. So for that whole month, she was very diligent. Okay, left socks not in the hamper. Put that in there. Toilet seat not where it should be. Put that in there. You know, she was looking for these things. She was filling it up. They get to the end of the month, and the goal behind this whole program is that once they got done, they would take the box, and then they would, you know, they'd dish them out. Okay, here's yours, here's mine, and they would read them. And so that day came, and they dished them out, and he was reading them very thoughtfully, looking at all the things that he'd failed to do to live up to her expectations, one by one. And he was looking at him. He just smiled and looked at her, and she looked. She says, "Did you see, honey?" He says, "Oh yes, I saw. I'll try my best." And then she says, "Well, let me look at mine." And there was a whole stack of them there. And she looks at the first one. "I love you. I 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 love you." He gave her a whole stack of "I love yous." See, isn't this what Jesus did for us? You know, God looks at, you know, how could you know your own life? Think about it. Your imperfections, your inabilities, the fact that even though you have the best intentions, you come together and you say the meanest things to people. God knows you. But yet, what does He do? He says, "I love you. I love you. I love you." And that's my message to us here. You know, if we're going to be a church that reaches people for Jesus, we have to develop a basket culture. A culture that puts people in baskets of acceptance when they come in the door. A culture that puts people in the baskets of understanding, so that even though we didn't quite like what they said, or we didn't like what they did, or how they're dressed, or the song they sang, or whatever, that we say to them, "I love you. That's the message I want. I know you have your faults, but I love you. I love you. I love you." We got to put people in the basket of understanding, friends. You know, in Colossians 3:12, it says this: "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on" what? "Love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." You know, love is what we're all about. Not the kind of love that seeks my pleasure, but the kind of love that seeks your good. And the greatest love we could give anyone is Jesus. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Peter says in 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. You know, one of the interesting things about that statement is this. It's not that love covers my sins. It covers your sins. Imagine a basket culture in this church where people are striving to be like Jesus, striving to put people into baskets of acceptance so that they will feel comfortable coming in the doors of the church and learning about Jesus and assimilating themselves into a little group of people that love Jesus and praying for them and helping them. Imagine people that are suffering right now, and I know there are people suffering right now. There's something going on in their marriage. There's something going on in their lives. There's something happening to their families. There's something that's going on. Do you not think that they need someone to put them in a basket of acceptance? A basket of understanding? Or that person that just keeps irritating you at the church, that always says the wrong thing, that you're just waiting for the third strike, to put them in a basket of acceptance? To put that person in a basket of understanding, so that you could do what Jesus could only do, and that's love them. Would you like to be a place like that? How many of you would like to make a commitment right now to make this place a place that has a basket culture? A place filled with basket cases who know their basket cases because of Jesus and because they're sinners. And they want this place to be a place where they can find what you have found, and that is the love of Jesus in their lives. People who genuinely desire to put you in the basket of acceptance and understanding. You know what? Isn't that the kind of place you want to be? If you yourself were to choose a church, wouldn't you want to choose a church like that? Let's pray that this church will be that one. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you so much for Paul and for the book of Acts, where we could see how his conversion to Christ led him into the hands of Christianity and into the fellowship of believers. And Lord, I just thank you so much for Barnabas, who was there for him to place him in his basket of acceptance, place him in his basket of understanding, that he could be accepted, nurtured, trained in the righteousness, learn about you, and then go out and be the most powerful witness the church has ever seen. Friends, I'm praying for this church right here that we would be a church of Barnabases, unafraid through the love of Christ to put people in our basket of acceptance, in our basket of understanding. And I'm praying these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.